Hi, I'm Tina, and welcome to This Ugly Beauty Business. This Ugly Beauty Business is a blog, and now a podcast, about the professional beauty industry. Each week, we tackle the issues salon professionals and salon owners face in the workplace. Unreasonable clients, overly competitive coworkers, and everything else your beauty school did not prepare you for. Hey everybody, it's that time of the year. The Know Your Rights post has been revised and expanded for 2017, and this year, I'm introducing the Salon Employee Suitcase, in case you haven't noticed. The Salon Employee Suitcase contains everything you need to get acquainted with your rights as an employee and protect your wages, so check it out. Throughout the year, I'll be introducing even more downloadable resources for salon professionals and salon owners, so keep an eye out for those. I have a huge pack of materials in the works for self-employed micro salon owners, another for independent educators, a pack for salon landlords, and a literal ton of stuff being prepared for traditional salon owners. Be on the lookout because 2017 is going to be an extremely productive year for all of us. Mostly for me. Do you know what your rights are as a beauty professional? The terminology can be confusing. Are you classified as an employee, or are you considered self-employed? And what defines the difference between those titles? Where do booth renters fit into all of this? You may think that you know exactly what type of salon professional you are, but you could be wrong. This episode defines the common roles and classifications found in the beauty industry, outlines common exploitations all professionals need to be aware of, and will let you know exactly what your rights are in your workplace. I consider this information to be absolutely critical for all beauty professionals, so listen up, because nobody in our industry has made it a priority to ensure you receive and understand this information, and it's tremendously important for your career and your personal welfare. First things first, in a salon, you are either self-employed or an employee. You cannot be half anything. Let's define the employee's role and clarify acceptable expectations. Employees are on the salon's payroll and are usually paid hourly, commission, or some combination of both. Employees come in two varieties, exempt and non-exempt. All employees are covered by workers' compensation, unemployment, and the salon's professional liability insurance policy. All are paid at the end of each pay period by their employer. The employer withholds the employee's half of their employment taxes and matches their contribution by remitting the other half. That equal tax contribution is the price employers pay for that degree of control over the employee. Salaried workers are considered exempt from the prevailing minimum wage laws and overtime laws, but they're still protected by all the other provisions in the Fair Labor Standards Act. So are we clear on that? If you are an exempt employee, you are being guaranteed a salary every single pay period, regardless of how many hours you work. The only thing you are exempt from as a salaried employee is the prevailing minimum wage and overtime. If you are non-exempt, which is pretty much all of us, then you are entitled to the prevailing minimum wage and overtime. Regardless of the compensation method, whether it's commission or hourly, employers must ensure to pay their non-exempt, their non-salaried employees, at least the prevailing minimum wage, whether the employee is working on a client or not. At the end of the pay period, when you divide your total hours worked by your commissions, the hourly total must meet or exceed the prevailing minimum wage in your area. Otherwise, the employer must make up the difference. Time tracking is a mandatory federal requirement, so you need to be clocking in and clocking out daily. Now we'll talk about your role and acceptable expectations for employees. Employees are required to follow their employer's directives. They must work the employer's schedule and adhere to salon policies and dress codes. They must use whatever products the salon requires them to use and perform services in accordance with the salon's protocols. They are also required to participate in promotional events, discounts, coupons, etc., continuing education, and mandatory meetings. Anytime the employer requires an employee to be present, the time is compensable and the employee must be paid. Again, even if that employee is not working on a client. An employee's clients pay at a centralized location, usually at a reception desk. And aside from tips, employees are never paid directly by customers. Employees are cut a check at the end of each pay period, and the employer withholds the employee's half of their employment taxes and then matches that contribution by remitting the other half themselves. That equal tax contribution is the price employers pay for that degree of control over the employee. Employees can be fired at any time for virtually any reason, so long as it isn't discriminatory or retaliatory. The employer provides all supplies and products and has complete control over the employee during their employment. Employers in most states are not permitted to arbitrarily deduct money from the employee's wages to cover costs of doing business expenses, like product. So, what does it mean to be self-employed? Well, the term is pretty self-explanatory. When you're self-employed, you're a business owner. In our industry, most self-employed professionals are what I call micro salon owners. Any professional who owns and solely operates a salon business is a micro salon owner. Booth renting is no longer the only form of independent salon ownership. Now professionals rent studios, run home salons, operate mobile salon units, and freelance all over their state. Salon co-ops are even popping up with multiple investor/owners. In addition to that, an extremely new concept that's been modeled from the technology industry and is likely to catch on like wildfire in our own in the next few years are co-working salons, where independent professionals can drop in to work on their clients and network with other professionals by simply paying a fee at the door or obtaining a monthly membership. That's right, no leases, no contracts, no strings, just an open area where professionals can work, organize classes, meet other professionals, and grow together. However, those other forms of independent entrepreneurship are separated from booth rental in that the professionals who own those micro salons are very clearly in business for themselves. When it comes to booth renting in a salon, especially in an open-air salon where the stations are in a common area without walls or doors to separate them, lines are frequently crossed by both renters and the landlords they lease from. So let's specifically address who booth renters are, what they do, and what is and isn't acceptable. Booth renters lease space within the salon. Renters run their own businesses and are completely independent from the rest of the salon in which they work. Renters keep 100% of their profits, pay their own product and supplies, set their own prices, and work on their own schedule at their own convenience. Clients pay the booth renter directly, and the booth renter is solely responsible for booking their own customers, acquiring new customers, and paying their own taxes. Booth renters choose which products they're going to use and sell and perform their services however they please. Booth renters cannot be fired. They must be properly evicted in accordance with the lease agreement or the state's commercial landlord-tenant laws. To a renter, a salon owner is nothing more than a landlord. The owner has no control over the renter whatsoever. Previously, renters were required by the IRS to have a key to the salon to be able to prove that they can come and go from the space as they please. However, the IRS no longer makes key holding mandatory. As long as the renters have access to the building during the operating hours stated in their lease, they're not required to have keys. And yes, renters and salon landlords, both of you need written leases. But that's another discussion for another day. It's important for salon landlords to understand that they cannot dictate a booth renter's schedule, force the booth renter to have their clients pay for their services at a centralized location like a reception desk, tell a booth renter what products to use, how to perform a service, or what to charge for their services, force a booth renter to participate in a promotion or coupon unless agreed upon in writing, fire a booth renter, or force a booth renter to adhere to a dress code or other salon guidelines or rules. Why can't salon owners exercise those controls? Because they're not contributing to the renter's employment tax. The renter, in exchange for that freedom to operate without interference or control, is paying the entirety of their self-employment tax, which is 15.3% of their income. It's a pretty substantial chunk. It's also important for booth renters to understand that they are not entitled to free rent for vacation time, free back bar, or anything other than the space they're paying for. Additionally, salon landlords are not required to provide you with a clientele. This is another long discussion for another day, but There are links in the show notes to articles I've written that go into this topic in extreme detail. Finally, let's talk about the criminally misunderstood independent contractor status. Right now, I want you to forget everything you've ever been told by anyone who has ever tried to explain this to you, because the odds of them having explained it correctly are slim to none. Independent contractors are not employees. They are self-employed, just like microsalon owners are. 99% of independent contractors are illegally misclassified in this business. Independent contractors are freelance professionals. I often refer to independent contractors as the gypsies of the beauty industry, and for good reason. Contractors do not go to work every day, all day long, at the request of the salon owner. Much like a booth renter, independent contractors operate independently inside the salon, free of control from the business owner. The salon is not their only place of employment, they are not leasing space, and they are not on the payroll. Contractors are contracted and paid on a service-by-service basis. They're responsible for all their own taxes and do not answer to the salon owner. At the end of the year, contractors must be provided with a 1099 form if the owner has paid them more than $600 in that year. This classification seldom, if ever, belongs in our salons. If you have an entire staff of so-called independent contractors, you are doing it wrong. I have written about this topic to death. If you remain subscribed to this podcast, you're going to be so informed about the abuse of the independent contractor status, tax attorneys will be awed by your knowledge. So for now, I'm just going to tell you the three most important things you need to know. 1. Salon owners often use this classification to evade employment taxes. When exploitative owners classify professionals as self-employed, they're shoving the entirety of your employment tax burden onto you. So 15.3% of what you earn will have to be paid out of your pocket to the IRS at the end of the year. 2. When you're classified as a self-employed independent contractor, you're not eligible for workers' compensation, unemployment, the required minimum wage, overtime wages, federal protections against workplace discrimination and retaliation, or any of the other benefits you would be entitled to if you were classified correctly. 3. Never let a salon owner tell you that this classification is better for you because you won't have to pay taxes. Trust me, you will have to report your income and pay your taxes. In reality, this situation only benefits the salon owner because they get to control you like an employee and skip out on workers' compensation insurance, employment tax, wage obligations, and the other responsibilities and liabilities that come in exchange for that degree of control. Do not get this twisted. Misclassification is a crime and it is a big deal. Misclassification is considered a federal crime, and oftentimes it's also considered a state crime. And believe it or not, federal and state governments tend to take tax evasion, fraud, and wage theft pretty damn seriously. They take it so seriously that they often conduct joint audits. Now, whenever a complaint is filed with one agency, it alerts the other too. So, if, for example, an employee files an SS-8 and says, "Hey, IRS, I think I might be misclassified," the IRS conducts an investigation. If they determine that the employee is misclassified, they alert the state, and then the state starts their own investigation. They assume, because your employer has already broken the law, that they've likely broken other ones, so just in case, they decide to call the Department of Labor and have them perform an investigation. This is called a three-pronged approach. I call it the hell trifecta. It's definitely not something you want to deal with. I help salon owners navigate audits and labor investigations on a regular basis. It is a big deal. This kind of stuff destroys lives. So please, salon owners, take your business seriously. Professionals, unless you are truly a freelance gypsy professional, following the money wherever it may be and setting your own terms, working under your own brand, You are not an independent contractor, and no salon owner will be able to twist the truth enough to justify tax evasion and labor abuse with the IRS. Don't put up with this. When an owner tries to convince you that this is okay, shut them the hell down and walk out. The only way this pervasive abuse stops is if we stop allowing it to happen in the first place. If you want to know more about the independent contractor status and the nitty-gritty details to determine whether or not you are actually an independent contractor, I highly recommend reading my post, The 20-Factor IRS Test. Again, there's a link to it in the show notes. I don't care what you heard, there is no special exemption from these laws for beauty salons. No states are exempted, no cities are exempted. This is federal law. It applies to all 50 states. So if someone tries to tell you otherwise, tell them to provide proof. I guarantee you they will not be capable of it because none exists. I swear I must hear this and see this at least 6 times a day. Well, salons don't have to follow those rules, or my city is exempt from those laws. It's not, they're not. Stop saying that, it's not true. Nobody is exempt from federal law. Professionals, know your role and know your rights. If you have a question, instead of emailing it to me, I prefer it if you leave a comment for me in the comment section of the Know Your Rights article. All comments are moderated, mostly because nobody wants to see a bunch of ads for boner pills and knockoff Nikes in the comment section, but also because the moderation queue helps to keep me organized. I write responses before I approve the comments, so no comment goes unanswered. If you have a question, please ask it there so others can benefit from the answer I provide to you. Oh, but before you comment, let me leave a quick note to the rabid keyboard warrior salon owners out there. I get it. This post can stir up some serious emotions. A lot of my posts do. They're written that way intentionally. In my experience, I've learned that some people tend not to receive and absorb information unless it's delivered to them like a punch in the throat. So that's what I do. Before commenting here or anywhere on my site, do yourself the tremendous favor of researching me and what I write before you decide to make a fool of yourself. I have written over 300 articles, many in defense of salon owners. I don't play favorites here. I call stupidity like I see it. Salon professionals receive just as much criticism as salon owners do here, if not more. So try not to take offense to anything that I've said that you didn't like to hear. I don't give a crap what either one of you want to hear. I'm telling you what you need to hear. Take it or leave it, educators and bloggers do not owe you a damn thing. Do not leave me a 16-page comment in defense of yourself and your fuckery. True salon owners who take ownership of their salons and run them legally and ethically are making the industry better. But owners who intentionally misclassify employees as independent contractors and commit wage theft are not part of that group and never will be. I believe our industry and our governments need to take more responsibility for ensuring business owners and employees of all kinds are informed of their rights and responsibilities. And since nobody is making that a priority in our industry, I'm doing it myself. Also, these regulations are not new. These regulations have been around since the mid-70s. They may be new to you. That's not unusual. Again, governments and beauty schools don't go out of their way to inform us of this stuff, so it falls on us to do our own research. I've done plenty of it, and I've provided it here for your reference for free. I hope you found this episode informative and useful. If so, please subscribe. New posts and the related episodes are released on the first and third Fridays of every month. Thank you so much for listening.